And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not
here on Declare Your Independence, and me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEAU Tifo Studios of FreedomsPhoenix.com. Put me on stage, coach. I'm ready to sing. No. We got Maj Duray. He tried. There he is. I got him. We got him. Maj, I got you there? Maj, say hello.
Yo, what's up?
There you go. We win. You almost made it. All right. So let me go ahead and do an introduction for you and say, yo, what's up here real quick. Donna, go ahead. I'm sorry?
There's the video. There it is.
Yeah, you push the button. There you go. It's a button. All right. This is what we're going to do. Maj Duray, let me do a little introduction here real quick, is a solutionary hip-hop artist turned Second Amendment activist from North Philly. His following began after he was featured on the cover of the Philadelphia Weekly as the Prophet of Philadelphia. He founded the Black Guns Matter movement in 15 and advocates for Second Amendment education and information for urban communities. Maj has been featured in the New York Times, Breitbart News, on and on and on and on, this TV program, that magazine, oh my God. Maj is on a 50-state tour educating urban Americans on their Second Amendment rights and responsibilities. Now, he's spoken at a couple of our Freedom Summits. You know, heck of a guy, very inspirational, doing it the right way, and making sure people understand that, look, the man's not going to come help you when you need him. Especially in some urban areas, they just kind of, and we're just not in a hurry, you know. So in that, those seconds that matter, the police are only hours away, you know. So it's like, nope. We're going to take care of ourselves, which puts you on the list of you're not allowed. So I wanted to introduce you to Maj real quick, and we'll get into some other controversies that are going on. But tell me about your trip, man. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, this Cali run. Y'all can hear me. This Cali run's been pretty good. We did a bunch of
I lost you.
What about now?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, we did UC Berkeley, Santa. We just did Santa Cruz, Chico State, UC Davis. We just did these colleges. We have to go and spread liberty and freedom where it needs it the most. And, you know, to ignore places like California, what a lot of my Californian friends say is what happens. A lot of liberty and pro-freedom and pro-gun organizations and people kind of like leaving behind enemy lines. And so because of that, we thought it was very important to do this, especially on a university level. So we finished these last four, you know, cities in 4 days. It's been wonderful. We got zero pushback. Antifa, like, tweeted that I was like a fascist or something like that. But other than that, everything
went good. Wait. Yeah, black man doing Black Guns Matter at Berkeley, and they didn't come out and protest and break windows or nothing?
Nah, they know a little bit better than that. I think what happens a lot of times is right now, white folks are the easy target to they don't want to look racist. So it's easy to paint white people as racist, whether they are or not. So we at Black Guns Matter present a different set of problems for them, because we're talking about empowering communities. We're still talking about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. We're talking about exercising these things as your human right. So it's almost virtually impossible to have a legitimate argument against, from an Antifa perspective, to have a legitimate argument and show up and then carry that out. And the people, a lot of times, that come to our events, we don't really play that. We don't really play that you're going to come through yelling at us. That ain't really what we're about. We're about, you know, respecting each other, respecting other people, and not tolerating disrespect on any level. And I think that most humans will agree with that concept. You know, but, you know, it was a little tweet here and there, but, you know, so many people said, yo, when you go into Berkeley, you know, be prepared for this, that, and the third. And I tweeted beforehand, no, we're going to go in there, we're going to deal with it with empathy, we're going to present facts, and we're going to create solutions. And we're not going to get any pushback. And we didn't. This last week that I've been in California doing these classes for free in liberal universities, we have had zero pushback. The people want.
Well, I'm looking at you. You had some pushback on, you're in the news a little bit here, and we were talking. That's one reason why I wanted to talk to you, is that in the, your race for city council, they have like at large. I guess it, you know, instead of districts, it's a whole Philly council and at large positions running for city council in Philadelphia. And I want to know how that went. You know, what did you get out of that? You know, I mean, you didn't win. I would imagine. I wouldn't expect. I don't care. You know, I don't trust the vote totals anyway. But you're still voting. But the point is that you were in the race and got to talk. Tell me about that experience.
The experience was great in the sense of I know what not to do, and I learned more about how corrupt this machine is. For example, running as an independent or libertarian, you need about 3,200 signatures to get on the ballot. Democrats and Republicans need 1,000. They also have the infrastructure where their ward leaders create spaces where, you know, they can get on the ballot just by, hey, I'm going to get this many ward leaders to get this many signatures. We had to go outside and get 10,000 signatures, even though we needed only 3,200. You know, we turned in about 7,000, but I had 3,000 extra just in case somebody wanted to challenge me off the ballot. So I learned the contradiction there. I learned all of these arbitrary rules for campaign finance law. So, for example, if I spend $100 to buy incense, one of our promotional items that we wanted to give people to use was incense. Now, let's say if I run across incense and I don't have one of my team members or my accountant with me or treasurer, and I have $100 on me and I just decide, hey, I'm going to buy this pack of incense, $100 worth of incense, I have to fill out a form saying that I spent my own money. Not that I spent campaign funds on personal stuff, that I spent my own money on campaign stuff. That's an arbitrary statement or piece of paperwork that shouldn't even exist. I can do what I want with my own money.
Oh, the bad guys do. These are laws for good guys to break, and they get to get all. I know what you're talking about, man. This is. I had lawsuits, went all the way to Ninth Circuit, argued on 44 election laws here, all this kind of crap we challenged. They changed a lot of stuff here in Arizona. Years later, they go and they change it back. So anything that you learn, anything that you would have gotten changed, anything, they're going to change it back later anyway. So this political process is so jacked up that this process, that's why I don't have a problem just doing a write-in campaign just so I can put up signs. I don't give a crap about whether I win or not. So what was the impact that you had on the process? All this, I bet you can go all day on how they screwed with you and the laws are set to make sure that you don't have an alternative voice in it, because they want it to where you can choose from candidate, you know, fascist candidate A or fascist candidate B, but freedom candidate's so not allowed. I get it. But what did you get accomplished by you actually running?
Oh, over 90% of the people that voted were first-time voters. Woo! And what I mean, and I don't mean that, you know, I believe that your voice in local politics can be very powerful. But the beautiful thing about that was that told me that there's a lot of beginners that want to be involved in the political process in order to make constructive change. Now, my job is to extract those people and get them involved in politics outside of just election cycle.
Thank you.
So that was one of the major things. The other thing was, and the fact that so many people were open to the concept of how we campaign. You know, we're not just throwing, you know, door knockers out. We're not just doing stuff that you're going to throw away. We gave people things that they could actually use. We used campaign funds, donations that people gave to us, but things that win or lose, people consistently use.
Awesome. No, I want to talk more about that. We're going into break.
A lot better.
We'll be right back after this break. Taj Rick.
Of Captain Mark.
A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation. A difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
Okay, Maj, when we come back in about a minute and a half or so, I just want to know where you want to go with this. This is fascinating, and I wanted you to finish on the tools that you gave to the people, but also this is the problem that happens when you're popular like what you're doing. What always happens is that there's a tendency, you're very effective in what you're doing locally in some place like Philly, and then, of course, they want you to go to everywhere else across the planet, and you're taking this out, and then you kind of lose your base. Are you maintaining your base in Philly and keeping that while you're going out? And I mean, you know, give me kind of a gist on that when we come back, too, okay?
Okay.
So we'll talk about it. We'll finish up with Philly and how you're taking it on the road. Because with one guy, man, I mean, if you kind of, you'll thin yourself out a little too much, you know, then you're not effective anywhere. But it seems like you got it going on. And then not the next segment, but later, I want to talk about the controversy with the LP and speaking. And then the Mises Caucus is like, yeah, hell, we just get Maj to run for LNC or something. Screw him. I mean, you know, so this is, you know, we'll talk about that and ouch, quit it politics. But that's why I don't worry about that crap, and it is freaking activism. You just keep doing the activism. All right, we'll be back in just a little bit. Be ready. Here we go.
Please help get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, rocking and rolling one night here in Declare. You're independent from me, Ernest Hancock. Maj Touré, Black Guns Matter. All right, now we're talking, we're going into the break. You know, it kind of cut him off. And what I need him to continue to share with us is the campaign itself gave them an opportunity to distribute some materials and give people, regardless of what happened at the election, they got something. They learned something. They have something useful. And this building up in Philadelphia where he lives and he's from is, I'm wanting to know how that is going to be a base for anything in the future. Because what happens is when you take it on the road, you know, you kind of neglect your home base, but can you can you get some stuff sparked around the country? You go into the university, I want to know how that's even set up and how that's done. In the next segment, we'll talk about some Libertarian Party stuff. But this time, in this segment, I want you to, you know, finish your thoughts of what you provided to the activists and the population and all these people that were first-time voters. Not that I'm a big, giant voting fan, but you get them involved and what service you provided them. Then we'll get what you're doing on the road again. All right, so tell me, finish up on your thoughts of what you provided the electorate there.
Yeah, one was just showing people how much that you know government wastes your money, and you know candidates campaign how they're gonna run and spend your money. So for example, you'll see people have however many hundreds of thousand dollars or $50,000 in flyers, and the flyers are just thrown about, or the yard signs and so forth and so on. For us, we only gave those things to people that actually wanted them. So we were budgeting with the money that people gave us. So that was one, being fiscally responsible. Two, all of the things that we gave as promotional items were things that people could use twice. You had to at least get two uses out of it. If it was just about showing my face and my ballot number, okay, we're going to put that sticker on a pack of incense. So while you're meditating, while you're thinking, okay, you go into that pack, but you also recognize that you can get some use out of this. If it was about plastering the website or how you can donate, we put that on a cup. You can have that cup forever. So my point there is it's just showing people that there's different options, and government showing how government candidates generally just tremendously overspend, and getting people, like, that was a part of our campaign explanation. The other thing was just showing people that, listen, there is someone from the community, and just like they are, they can have more success in running or being involved politically on a local level outside of just election cycles. That was the biggest thing. So I see a lot of the libertarians or guys that pretend like they're libertarians, but a lot of times they're just contrarians. They're like, oh, well, you lost your race, And it's like, bro, I didn't lose anything. One, everybody knows that me being in that position in an 80% Democrat city, right, with not millions and millions of dollars, with not a bunch of political connections, my job was to go in there and get the people aware and involved, And so with that being the case, we did that. Having that many new people to become involved in a part of the political process is an excellent start. Excellent start. I think that because I have a very pro-gun platform and a very anti-gun city, I think that affected it. But we also, again, got so many people in the conversation of liberty that have been left out of the conversation in general. That is the ultimate win. And again, this is a marathon. I love when people have this thought process that, politics is completely dependent upon who's the particular candidate at the time. And you can have a person that's a candidate that wins and they reinstitute the Patriot Act. That's not good for liberty. That's not good for freedom. So I think those were the things that we were able to do very, very impactfully in Philadelphia. And it tied more people into our bigger work, our national work. Like I said, right now, I'm on my way to Los Angeles from Santa Cruz. It tied more people into our national work for liberty with firearm safety, with conflict resolution, with de-escalation, with first aid training, things of that nature. So all of this was a net win from my perspective.
And mine. I understand activism. This is, all right, to bolster what you're saying, I'll give you an example. I've run for office a lot. Congress 3 times, U.S. Senate against McCain, Secretary of State twice, a couple of times legislature, county recording. It was all the same thing, what you're talking about. Bringing attention to a lot of stuff. I've ran 4 or 5 times for national chair of Libertarian Party going, can we have a no-compromise, principled political candidate once? I mean, God, you guys just freaking drive me nuts. It's like Dave Smith's debate, the Soho debate with Nick Sarwark, the national chair, was on this very issue. And what was the big criticism is they were like, well, you're not running, you're not winning, you're not. But what happened is every time I would get the highest vote totals of third-party candidates in the nation. When I run for U.S. Senate, they go, wow, you spent almost, how the hell did you get so much? I'd get statewide office, I'd get almost 8% or something, just going out doing exactly the kind of stuff that you're doing, because I understood it had lasting, accumulative impact. So by the time that I'm running for U.S. Senate in 04 against McCain, I had the highest vote totals of any and percentage of any third-party candidate in three-way races. I got more attention, more press, more blah, blah, blah. And they go, how did you do it? We want you to come to our Libertarian convention and state this and state that and tell us what you did. And I go, okay, I told people to stop voting. Never mind. Right. I'm going, they go, that's not in our agenda. I go, what is your criteria? They wanted more money. They wanted more press. They wanted more membership. They wanted more attention. They wanted more. But what they really wanted is they wanted a machine they could control. They wanted to make money off it. And they didn't think they could do that by not advocating voting. What you're doing is the same kind of stuff that we've been advocating forever. There has to be an accumulation of knowledge, of goodies, of understanding, of whatever that go. Then the internet hit, and here comes the Ron Paul evolution. And this has been such a thorn in the side of a lot of these guys, even the Libertarian Party, that when people think of libertarianism, they don't think Libertarian Party. They think Ron Paul and the Levolution. So when they start thinking freedom and the black community or minorities or inner city issues or whatever the hell, it's going to be Maj Touré. And the fact that they don't understand that or take advantage of it, I mean, they don't understand or they got another agenda. What's the other agenda you think it is? You understand my question? Did I lose your audio? You there?
I believe that.
Here, hold on a second. You're driving. Maj is driving, so he's getting, you know, intermittent. Where are you at right now, anyway?
Current leadership of the Libertarian Party has been. Yes, absolutely. I believe that the current leadership I'm in California. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Barely. You're cutting in and out. You know, if you find a good spot, stop for a second.
What about now?
It's still kind of cutting a little bit. But go ahead and give your response to my rant.
The Libertarian Party leadership currently, I believe, has been placed there to derail the Libertarian
Libertarian. No, the place there to derail. See, they're cutting. The man has got his phone to go. Ooh, damn it. Okay, I tell you what we're going to do. It'll work better if you cut your video because it's taking up the bandwidth.
Okay.
So cut the video, and I have graphics that we can run, and then we'll get the full response from Maj Touré because I'm sure he's going to say something. We'll be right back. Hold on.
Honest living free.
Okay. Yeah, let's do this. Okay, you pulled that down. Yeah, not the audio, just the video. And then what I can do is this. And I can have graphics of your pretty face running in the background here. There. Okay. All right, now talk now. Let me see how we're doing. Maj? Maj? Okay, I see you. But I don't hear you. Turn on your microphone. I think it's silenced or something. Okay, that's silenced. Okay, that's open. I don't hear you. It's your headset or something. Okay, unplug your headset and just pull out your phone and see if that's it. Hello. Okay, hold on a second. I'm gonna have Donna we'll call you on the phone without doing the Zoom, and we'll see how that works. Okay, go ahead. I can't hear you. Go ahead and hang up. You know, stop the Zoom, and then I'm gonna have. Okay. Wait. Okay, there, now try it. All right, hold on, Donna.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Okay, now take the video off. Okay, now talk.
What about now?
Yep, good.
What about now?
Yeah, no, we're good. No, that was
it. Might have been just it might have just been the area that I was in.
Yeah, it was. And then when I went to break, it was me. I turned off the button here, and I'm sitting here, can't hear you, and it was me. Okay, so okay. When we come back, that's the one thing that I really want to focus on is the when you said the Libertarian Party is, because I think you were going, I'm going, whoa, whoa, whoa. Didn't take long for Maj to figure it out. So, you know, this,
okay.
When you're paying attention, right. Yeah, that sounds better. That's a lot better. Okay, let's do that.
Okay, cool.
All right, we'll be back in just a little bit, so be ready with that. And here we go. How many? We got, we got two more segments, so we're good. All right, hold on. Here we go.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
The whole world addicted to the drama, only attracted to things that bring the trauma. Overseas, yeah, we trying to stop terrorism, but we still got terrorists here living in the USA, the big CIA, the Bloods and the Crips and the KKK. But if you only have love for your own race, then you only leave space to discriminate, and to discriminate only generates hate, and when you hate, then you're bound to get irate. Yeah. Madness is what you demonstrate, and that's exactly how anger works and operates. Man, you gotta have love just to set it straight. Take control of your mind and meditate. Let your soul gravitate to the love, y'all.
People killing, people dying, children hurt, and you hear them crying. Can you practice what you preach, and what you turn the other cheek? Father, 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 help us, send some guidance from above. Got me questioning.
Where is the love?
Where is the love?
Right here on Declare Your Independence. In fact, this very song, we did a, on my other computer here, we had the bumper stickers that we did. You know, let me show you this. You know, those on, I want you to see right here. It says, where is the love bumper sticker? There on the top. We did a lot of these. These are real popular based on this song. It was amazing to me how much we got attention on that one bumper sticker. And I know Maj knows about that song because, man, it sounds like he took it to heart and did it. So
right.
This is, where is the love, man? Where is the love? Well, in the Libertarian Party, when we're talking about, he's gotten a lot of attention from, and a lot of libertarians see the value of what he's doing. But you started off, when we started having audio problems, you're going, yeah, the libertarian leadership is not really about, what were you saying?
The current libertarian leadership. Now, I want to be clear when I say this. The libertarian ideology, the great minds, the great hard workers that are all across the nation. I don't mean this for the rank and file. I mean the current leadership. When I'm talking about Daniel Hayes, when I'm talking about Nick Sarwark, I believe that their actions show that they have a vested interest in weakening the party. I saw a WikiLeaks article that somebody sent me that said some of those guys in leadership have, you know, questionable associations with, you know, like spooks, you know, put in place to destabilize, you know, a very powerful party. You can't tell me, you know, saying something like, you know, Rand Paul doesn't understand anything about liberty, right? Disinviting Ron Paul from the National Convention in 2018. Disinviting me from the keynote speaker after asking me, then making unilateral decisions and lying, straightforward lying to me about what the intentions were. Waiting to see if I was going to win the election, and then if not, throw me under the bus. Even if it's not, some sort of other governmental agency plant situation, even if it's not that, because it could not be, right? Even if it's not that, it's incompetence. It's incompetence and it's kowtowing to disrespectful donors, and that is not principled. For all of that, we might as well just go be a part of the Democrat or Republican Party. If we're just going to bend to what the donors say, disrespectful donors at that, and not be our own individual selves, how are you as leaders advocating for this in the Libertarian Party? So I am of the belief, this is not an indictment, this is my personal opinion. I am of the belief that those guys have been put there, placed there to do a job of destabilizing the movement of the Libertarian Party.
Heavens to Murgatroyd, say it ain't so. Maj, you have to go through it to understand it. This right. is stuff that we've been doing since the 90s. It has been, right. you are correct, sir. And the thing is that if you have a ballot status, 50 state, oh my God, liberty-oriented movement of, and we care not, and we want our freedom, and freedom's the answer, what's the question? There has to be a check on that. It cannot be allowed to what happened. I use this as an example. It was the Lovolution. They did not expect that to have such a social impact on the planet. And they went, whoa, what the hell was that? It was exactly what they were trying to prevent from happening all through the 90s. When it really broke out and people, they went, man, the intelligence community, we got a whoa. It was Jesse Ventura. All of a sudden, Jesse Ventura from out of freaking nowhere becomes governor of Minnesota, and they want to know what the hell just happened. Well, it's right. all about, they don't know when the Berlin Wall is going to fall. They don't know when this kind of stuff breaks out from Minnesota. What the hell is Minnesota? So, and Jesse Ventura, of all people. So he understood this was just worldwide wrestling, man. It was just, you want a show? I'll give you a show. Well, this right. is, you're a show. And they would, of course right. they would do this. They want to tap you. They'll go in, they'll squeeze your bicep and say, ooh, you're so strong and pretty and smart. And they love on you right up until, and they don't. And I've been right. through this over and over and over so many times. You do not got to convince me, okay? Right. But what do you do about it? Now, we just had Michael from the Mises Caucus on a couple days ago. And we were talking about, did a podcast with him. You go look in the archive, you'll see it. And the whole thing is they young minds that are inspired by Dr. Paul and people like you to go in and now we're going to fix it, we're going to do it. And they run up against this machine and they will bust in and do whatever the hell they got to do. But these people are savvy now. They've been through the Lovolution. They know how the political process works. They know the contacts of Bill Weld. They know Nick and Bill and who these guys are and kind of they know. But if you want to fix it, what do you got to do? You got to get the bodies in the seats and the delegation of them. We got to have this to say about that and convention and get some. And you being on there was hell no. We don't want a bunch of Philly guys and people taking up seats and supporting of Maj. So when you go, and what was your answer? Ah, screw you guys, I don't have nothing to do with you? Or do you want to align with people and just go whip ass? I mean, what do you want to do?
So here's the thing. The principle of how they I told Daniel Hayes himself when this whole donor thing happened, when I was disrespected, but when I did not out a donor, when a donor outed himself and I spoke to the way to him that I would speak to anyone that disrespects me. I'm from Philly, yeah. First and foremost. that's clear. I'm never going to tolerate disrespect without retaliation. It's never going to happen. With that being the case, I told them.
So what are you, a black Donald Trump? Did you say you had small hands or something?
So here's the thing. You know what the thing about that being in that Donald Trump scenario is? This guy understands like Jesse Ventura. This guy, even though I disagree with tremendous amounts of his policies, this guy understands that we're in a circus. He's a ringleader of a circus. Okay. Now, with this being the case, my principles or my policies may differ in that regard, but we're still in the circus. So with that. And understanding that, I understand that we have to bring in a circus, you're going to have different political animals, different political ideologies, different mentalities, different temperaments. And if you're about freedom and liberty, you got to manage that and respect that while getting the forward movement of the movement. Now, when I said these things and I told Daniel Hayes months ago, hey, guys, if you remove me as the keynote speaker off of principle, not because I need to do another interview. I do 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 interviews a week. It's not because of an interview or speaking, okay? It's because you're doing it because a donor was mad that I disrespected him after being disrespected. This is about that principle. We cannot say we are principled libertarians if we are bending to donors that have only donated $5,000 in the last 2 years.
Oh, no, the Libertarian Party is, you can buy the entire party for $10,000 at the right time in the right place. We a cheap crack hoe. We like, woo, if you're going to be a call girl, you'll be an expensive girl. I mean, you'll come on.
Right.
You know, so I'm with you, brother. I know exactly what you're talking about. Now, what was it skip to the end, and what did he say to you that pissed you off, and what did you say to him? You got, like, you know, 30 seconds.
He basically said, and Larry Sharp has an interview on this. basically, he wanted me to apologize for being strong. Soon as the black man come through, you thought it was just going to be a tap dance and just bring people in without strength, and that's not the case. We Leonidas. We don't bow to Xerxes.
And then you said what?
Eat a dick.
That was it? You said, eat a dick. Screw you.
Eat a dick. Yeah, you want me to apologize? It's not about apologies. That's not what this is. I apologize for things that I've done wrong.
You said a trash can word.
Right,
you know, this is cool. There's so much to talk about. We'll be right back.
Is oral health important to you?
You know, this is what happens. It was, we were watching, I was back in New England and, you know, nothing to do and whatever. And we were watching the Trump thing in Minnesota or Tech, whatever it was. He was up there. So me and a friend, you know, just, you know, entertainment. So it's fun to watch these Trump rallies when he's just slamming on the media, watch their red lights go off and the cameras, you know, that kind of thing. And he goes, this impeachment process is bullshit. The fact that he said that. Now, woo! And I go, oh, hell yeah. You know they're going to make a big deal. This is going to be awesome. Well, you doing that, they were just looking for an excuse. This was just to get you riled up to say or do something. They did not want you bringing an army of inner city, freaking had their fill of it, libertarians to go explain it to the convention, which I think that is your get back. You want to have some fun? You just show up and say, hello, what's up? Yeah, I represent the what's up people. This is what I've been doing this for 30 right. years, and all the conventions have been going since like 96, national conventions. And what has been obvious to me is they called us purists and Rothbardians, like they're, you know, calling us, you know, a racial epithet, man. They're just like, you Rothbardian, as if I was back in Florida and I was black. I mean, I'm like,
right.
What the hell? Right. So I'd read and I go, yeah, what they said. I mean, what the hell? Of course, you know. Well, this is what happens. It was like 10-15% back then in convention, then 20, then 30, then it starts getting up to 40. Then you start taking over LNC positions. Then they start feeling the pressure. They're going, whoa, we're up against something. And this Levolution Ron Paul thing didn't really invade the party as much as it just knew to avoid it. Now it's like seeing it as a direct threat and starting to come in with this Mises Caucus thing. I'm not about organizations or groups. I think it's too limiting, but you know, I understand where this kind of mindset comes from. It has grown the anarchist wing, the libertarian wing of the Libertarian Party. Go, we need a big tent to let everybody in, and we don't have any problem. Go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay, does that big tent include libertarians? Are we allowed? I mean, what the F are you guys doing? So, this is what I was so emboldened by in Orlando. Now, that was when the shenanigans went on with, you know, Gary Johnson and Bill Weld came in. But you could see it was a clear over a third anarchist. By the time we get to New Orleans, a little bit more. This time, with the Mises and a bunch of anarchists coming, and if you would go, you know, that'd be awesome. And this is not a kowtowing to them. It's not a forgiveness of them. It is a challenge directly to them. I need Maj Ture. I tell you what, if you'll go, we'll get a room, a thing, an event, and you can speak and put on your deal at the convention and screw them. We've done that in 04. Charles Goyette and I went because they had Neil Bortz up there saying, oh yeah, we need to go kick Afghanistan's ass, and I'm giving him a stage because he's libertarian. Bullshit. You know, we had Charles and I, at the same time he was speaking, we were in another room. If you work with us, you want to do this, I get you some attention and tell him to, you ain't got to say anything. You just be there. We'll talk about it.
I'm in New Hampshire history.
Hold on. Listen.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
They disrespected not just Maj, But all activists that are, you know, having this kind of impact for petty, stupid, I gave so much. I'm a lifetime member of. I paid for the gold super ticket of the trifecta of some club, shiny badge of BS that I couldn't possibly care less about. This is exactly what us, we have been so. In 2008, it was after the convention was in, I don't know, end of June, July or something. And by that time, Dr. Ron Paul had already dropped out. And they thought that, you know, well, Ernie Hancock running for a national chair is going to get up there and he's going to do the revolution and bring it in and we're going to have a Bob Barr revolution, you know? And I'm going, right. You guys have no idea what you're talking. Like, I could even do it anyway. So I'm just, this is just so stupid. So I'm like, stupid does not last. And I see, this is so obvious with Nick Sarwark. I know Nick well, and we're friendly, but I know what kind of guy. I know what it is. I get it. Exactly what you're saying. These people, and you're talking about the record. I had them on the show talking about this. You know, hey, you're on the list of the whatever. Oh, well, yeah, you know, yeah, whatever. You want to listen, you know, go listen to the show, you know, from his mouth. Now, the thing is that I'm like, all right, you need these guys. So in New Orleans, I kind of backed off. I just did a member at large, you know, speech, and I said, look, I'm not worried about, you know, the LNC anymore. We have enough anarchist libertarians out here now that they're not going to get away with too much more for much longer. But there's no representation of the activist. You and what you're doing is exactly what my speech was about. Exactly. It is, if we don't have a representation of the activist out there to the LNC saying, look, just back off, let these guys do whatever and quit trying to control everything. If there isn't a member at large that's there representing the things that you're doing, you're going to keep bleeding off the party, because we looked at it as a high school dance. It's where everybody went to find out where the cool kids were going to be partying later, which is exactly what happens. The party itself, when people think libertarian, they don't think the Libertarian Party. It's some local libertarian like you, or it's the Lovolution or Dr. Paul, because the party kind of, ew, which was, like you say, was intentional, and I agree. The Libertarian Party is the biggest threat. And the reason is our statement of principles and the structure that they did that you can never change, except that 7/8 in convention to change the statement of principles. We, the members of the Libertarian Party, advocate for the rights of the individual against the cult of the omnipotent state, this adoration, this worship of an all-knowing, all-seeing state. Tell me that doesn't ring true. And every convention, they're trying to get the attendees to vote that out. There is an effort every time. And the people behind it, they're the people that you're talking about. So you show up, we'll make you... Go freaking go. Maj, what can I do to get you to go?
So here's, I'm still evaluating it, because one thing that I want to make sure that I'm doing is being respectful to the non-aggression principle. That's one. What the last thing that I would want to happen is for someone to play themselves, thinking they would be disrespectful to me, and I would not retaliate. Okay. So with that being the case, I have to evaluate.
No, you being there is the retaliation. That's what you got to realize.
I mean, to a certain extent, though, because these
don't
guys,
let them trigger you. Don't let them trigger you. Right. I'm just telling you, man.
Exactly my point. Exactly my point. And I think that those guys are not above attempting to do something like that.
Of course they will.
Those guys are not, right. And so I don't even think, not even just trigger, I think attempt to set up. So if I was going to go to something like this, I would have to think about it. I would have to be very strategic and tactical.
Just show up. You can show up, pay your $25, show up, and boom, done. And they say you're not allowed. Yeah, whatever. I'll stand over here and hang with the guys. Just be there. Do your presentation in another room. We can talk to the Mises Caucus. Probably going to have some little side thing, whatever. I can have a side thing. Do your own side thing. This is, man, do not miss this opportunity. When you have people like you that have experienced it, it's got attention. You know what's happening. You're saying it. You're willing to come out and go, look, man, the Libertarian Party has been infiltrated since the beginning. Since the 80s with the Coctopus and them guys back, they wanted to take over the Libertarian Party back at, you know, during, before, and after the 80 election. That's what Rothbard started Cato with these guys. There's always been a Mises versus, you know, Coctopus thing been going on for decades. And what happened was when one of the Koch brothers ran for VP, they put in $1 million and we're going to be in charge of and get, and they couldn't get control of the Libertarian Party from them damn, you know, tie-dye wearing, dope smoking, gun-toting hippies, you know, wouldn't let them take it over because of the way it was structured from the beginning by David Nolan. And the thing is that pissed them off. So they started Cato and they have all their Coctopus stuff that they're doing. They use the Libertarian movement as a bucket of votes for them to wield around and be kingmakers in Congress for some energy policy. So whatever good that they do and stuff that people, because they got the money, you know, that's what's the enticement. It's always, and it's cheap. Man, it's cheap. We freaking crack hoe. Woo-hoo, give me a fix. And we'll, I am so sick of this. And it takes people like you that realize it, understands it, and has some chutzpah to go up. But it's not, you know, just you got to, like, you know, punch them in the face or anything. You're punching them in the face by freaking showing your face. I am now, oh, once you realize that, then you get it. We're going to do something. You know, Maj, they didn't piss you off, piss me off. We're all pissed. So let's go kick ass.
Absolutely.
Boom, absolutely. Done. Next.
Simple like that, huh?
No, it is. I've been doing this 30 years, man. I know exactly what they're afraid of. What they are afraid of is people, you find they have to keep you separated and disinterested and, you know, leave a bunch of open seats in the delegation so they can bus in 40 people and they get sat everywhere. Because that's what happens at the Libertarian Party. If you show up and you pay your $25, you know, just as a out of culture, you don't have to, but the state's, all right, we got a few extra seats. Yeah, come vote, you know, sit here and vote with us. And they'll vote and they don't care. Because we're a bunch of libertarians. We don't give a crap, you know? But whenever it gets, it's going to build up to a certain point to where this has been outed. And what Bill Weld did and what he's been doing and Nick and all, I'm going, you guys just don't get what's coming. And I don't even have to do it. Sooner or later, there's going to be, and how can I help? Do I have to join the Mises caucus? Do I got to join, you know, the Mises? Do I got to join, you know, Jacob Hornberger's campaign? Do I got to, no, hell no. Go, woohoo, look at my membership card like Bill did. I'm like, you know, I was the one in the crowd when we were in New Orleans and he's going, or Orlando, and he's got getting the nomination. Alicia Keys running for VP. They wanted her to drop so that he would win. And she said, I'm not going to do it unless he comes up and says he's not going to stab us in the back. Because he did it running for governor as a libertarian in New York. And at the last minute, he pulled and screwed him. Same thing. I'm going, he's going to do the same thing for the National Party. He's going to hip-lock with Gary Johnson and say this about that. And then days before the election, he goes on Rachel Maddow, MSNBC, and I vouch for Hillary crap. I'm going, what the hell do you think was going to happen? And I go, and he goes, and he gets up there and he says, and she goes, tell him you're not going to stab him in the back. I'm a card-carrying lifetime member of, and I died, and I'm good time. I go, but he didn't say it. So I'm sitting there pounding on the table, go, say it, say it, say it. And I wouldn't shut up until he said it. Nick Sarwark comes up and, you know, restarts the clock and kind of whatever. Bill Weld goes, look at the guy that saved me. I love him. That's how that started. I know what's going to happen. They are afraid of you going. So go, dummy. You know, politics for dummies, dummy. Come on, man. Right. Let's do it.
I feel it. I feel it. But at the same time, listen, I have to be objective. I have to evaluate if this is worth my time. I don't want to bring a gang of people. Again, me respecting the non-aggression principle, I'm a bit more, you know, reserved in that regard. A lot of the people, a lot of the passive aggressive stuff that a lot of guys do in this party, right? A lot of that won't fly with the friends that I'm going to bring. And so I have to make sure that I have to evaluate. Are my friends going to be able to handle this properly? And is this something that I want to spend energy on? Because I have family. I have all
you don't
got to
spend any energy. This is my point. You just go.
No, that's not. I don't just go and just show up to anything. If I go do something, I'm going to do it right and do it hard. You go big or you go home.
See, I'm trying to convince you.
So it's going to be energy expended.
Well, I'm trying to convince you that that energy of you just going will multiply times a gazillion just going. You know, and when I say, you know, politics for dummies, that is, you know, that's not to be disparaging. I'm trying to make sure that it's way, people try to overthink it. They think it's more complicated than it is, and it's not. It's so but simple. And if you, it's always finding, it's timing, the right pressure at the right time in the right place. And you will have support for this, at least to give your presentation. I would love for the National Party to have, you know, the, whenever you do it, the convention room is going to be empty. So they're going to try and do votes and everything while everybody's going to watch you. I'm like, no. We got to time that. So, yeah, hold on a second. We'll talk a little bit. On the live stream, we're going to have Maj Turay and I. We're gonna fight it out. Because, damn it, I already know what's going to happen. And Austin, they need to get learnified. Woo-hoo! Are you freaking kidding me, Maj? This is your fight. This is it. See, the fact that they dish in, they do. I don't do farce book, and I don't give a crap. It's there to get the extremes arguing. That's how farce book works. They get the extremes on the left, the extremes on the right, and it's all entertainment for everybody else. They fight, ouch, quit it, and then nobody does anything. It's if you just turned off, you know, any mention of anything with the LP, screw them. Go do your stuff and be busy and just say, hey, I'm gonna go. Or don't even tell them you're going to go. You know, if you want, you know, we're going to be bugging you later. I'm going to be talking to some of the guys, and we'll see what we can work out and kind of give you an opportunity to speak to the convention separate from or out down the street, whatever the hell. I don't care. At night in the hotel room, it doesn't matter. In the lobby, out front, you know, guys that go out front to, you know, smoke their dope or cigarettes or whatever the hell. I don't even know what the heck the laws are in Texas. But, you know, you'd be out there and holding court in the street for all I freaking care. So this is not a, you know, a sanctioned official. You don't want it to be. They made it clear. Screw them. You know, I'm telling you, you got way more support or this kind of thought and somebody that needs to be able to bring this stuff out than you realize. And you're on, because all they got to do is go on Facebook and have an army of their BS crap, say this, ouch, quit it. You just got to have the confidence and the knowledge and the experience to know that they're full of shit. Nobody cares. The vast majority, you know, it's getting to be a majority, but I guarantee you this, 40%. Of the audience that I saw in Orlando and in New Orleans and so on, sympathetic, if not hardcore, for whatever it is that we're doing. And it will grow. This Jacob Hornberger, do you know anything about Bumper Hornberger, Future Freedom Foundation, running for president?
No.
That's going to be, you know, the one. There's a bunch of creative guys, and we'll have some fun and everything and so on. But the kind of support and endorsement that I did, I've been waiting for somebody, a real libertarian, to do this thing, is when I did this for Dr. Paul in 07, and we became the Lovolution and so on, I had the same feeling in 94 for Judge Buttrick. He's a retired federal judge now. That was a lawyer back then. He ran for governor in Arizona, did great, kicked ass, became platform chairman of the LNC, represented a lawyer in lawsuits against. He was a lawyer for Arizona against the National Party. Let's put it that way, okay?
Okay.
So then we have, so he was a hardcore, principled, hell yeah, that guy. So when we did the Ron Paul Revolution, it was exactly the same reasons, because I didn't have to pick my head up from plowing and advocating and working and doing activism like what you're doing, because I knew that he would use libertarian, whether I agreed with all of his conclusions or not, he was going to use hardcore libertarian principles to make his point. Jacob Hornberger is that guy again. The third time in my life that I've ever to do this. This is what's coming to Libertarian Convention, because he's running for the presidency for the nomination of the Libertarian Party, and you could easily have done it as freaking anything. So this is what's coming to Austin. If you go, it's going to be in that environment. And I'm telling you, you're going to miss out on some fun. Woohoo! So I don't want you to miss this, because what you're up against, we've been up against for decades. You think we don't know who these guys are? We need you. You feel me?
Right. I feel you.
And because Ernie freaking said, that's why. Damn it. So this is going to be fun. You know, as a matter of fact, I go for lunch now with Mark Victor. He wants to convince me about something. You know, we're going to, it's a gun thing. He's trying to convince me that, well, can't we have, you know, kind of, you know, you know, you need competent people, and somebody's going to just, you know, whatever. So I, you know, he's, I'm, anyway, so I'm way more hardcore than him, and he's going to try and convince me of something. We'll see what happens. But the, I'm in your wheelhouse, man. This is what I do, but I've been doing it for 30 years, and I wait for the, it's all a timing thing. Everything is opportunity, you know, meets preparation. Well, we've been preparing. We've been getting everything ready. We have, you know, the technology and the sites and the, you know, the rhetoric and the books and the, you know, the online e-zines and the newspaper and all that. I'm going, whoop ass. And I need your help. Hell, we want to help you. This is, you got dissed, you going to get undissed. Watch.
Yeah, I can feel it.
So
I
go ahead.
Feel it for sure.
Yeah, no. Just think about it. Sit there and know. Yeah, you bring whatever game you want. Okay, I'll give you an example before I let you go. This is how it goes. We went to Denver, and we looked at the floor plan, and we go, you know, this one position, if we get a table there, pay whatever they want to get this table there, we'll get everybody walking into the hall and out of the hall, and we'll do our activist chain link thing. And that, in fact, we built it out of 2x4s, plywood, silk screen on it, great art, chain link fence, you know, to put the banners on, just the way we did the Levolution. So we had it there with TVs, man. It was awesome. It was definitely home built, but it was awesome. It was, and they're like, crap, I hate when Ernie does that crap. So from then on, they go, no. You don't get, when you're doing your campaign, you're running for national chair and stuff in the future. We went to St. Louis, you know, for that in 10, 12, whatever hell it was. So when we went there, they're going, nope, you're not allowed to pick your space. You will pay all the money, and then they'll pick it for you, and you knew you're going to wind up in some corner somewhere. So I go, oh, hell no. So what do you do? What we did is we used our workshop, and we made these little, here, can you see me on your screen? Can you see me?
Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, you know, it's on the, you know, yeah. You can see me talking there?
Not yet, hold on, because where the hell is Zoom? Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, don't worry about it. But behind me, the audience can see these boxes right here. They were, yeah, I'll pull this down. I want you to see this. These were boxes that we made for each state. This one was Arizona's, and we put, you know, different stickers on it and, you know, little state stuff. It'd have, like, you know, for Arizona, it had cowboys and cactuses and guns and, you know, whatever crap, right? So this, we spent a lot of time, 50 of these. We put Ron Paul Levolution, you know, DVDs in here. This is a size for DVDs. We put a bunch of bumper stickers in there and crap and trinkets and trash. And we just had these for every state. Now, what happened was we didn't have the one table that we wanted. You know, pick. You didn't get to pick. So what did we do? We owned every table. Every single table. We built these to put on every MFN table. We go, yep, you don't want to get fined. We'll own every table, you sons of bitch. Who do you think you're dealing with here? You know, so every single delegation had those. It was kind of cool. And a lot of them people took back with them. They probably still got them. You know, like one guy from Hawaii couldn't take his. So we got that one. But the so this is the mindset. Whether you do that or not, it's not the point. The point is you can bypass their crap every which way you want. You could have under another. We find out if we can do the floor plan thing. Do we get the right table? Do we? I guarantee they try and do this to us, me, you. I got an activist solution to it. They have no idea what they're dealing with. Well, they kind of do, and they're afraid of it. That's why you got disinvited. And I'm telling you, you know, it's going to be, there is, everybody always says, oh, this is the most important election of your life. I never said that. That's all BS. Right. This time in history, now, as the deep state is being exposed and all their infiltration, even into third party movement, all this kind of stuff, we got the technology now, bring it on. But what do? They got the platforms, all the social media, search engines, whatever. They're just going to Super Bowl time, boom, they flip it off like they do these other countries. To think it won't happen here, it's already happening. So you got to take to the streets. You got to go where the delegation is, and they will do some funky stuff. And I know know they're gonna disrespect the entire convention. I guarantee it. But we need to be there to chronicle it, witness it, live stream it, if they even have live streaming available, you know, by then. And we're going to be able to go, this is not how you're going to make change. It's activism like Maj Touré. You feel me? I got you there, Maj? Ah, dang it. Did we lose him? That was a good rant. You know, damn it. I want to make sure he understands. I'm trying to encourage Maj to go. And I want, because I know he goes, they're probably sitting there happy, you know, fat and stupid, going, Maj ain't here no more. You know, he didn't come. Ha, 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 ha. Really? All you did just pissed me off. That's so, it's on. It's on. And what happens when you bring Black Guns Matter and some activists from Philly, you know? And who lives in Philly? Let me think for a second. Oh, yeah. James Babb. It's on, it's on. All right, I'll go ahead and give Maj a call back, say goodbye to him and everything off the show. But you start to see what's going on. This is how it starts. It's just you get me motivated. You just give me the time. You know, there's always something happening to something. Can I get a lay of the land, what's going on? Who's involved, what's going on? And then it's a timing thing. Here we go. Nyok, 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 nyok. Oh, and you see, yeah. And I'm going to be on, go to the top of Freedom's Phoenix, join us, because I'm going to be doing a weekly thing on, skip to the end with Ernest Hancock, 5 minute of top of the new kind of, you know, and this is what's going on, little rants like this that you can see, you know what's happened, how it's been done. You'll go, wow, how'd you know, Ernie? How'd you not know? Sure as heck, if you were subscribed and we're telling you behind the scenes, because a lot of this stuff is going to be behind the scenes. And who's my biggest subscriber is going to be? They, them, those. Be .gov, .mil, and .lp stuff. They can pay! Peace, guys. Is he back up? No, he can't hear me. Peace.